Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The ever-growing New Zealand music industry hasn't just made musicians more professional. Related skills such as publicity, entertainment law and management have also benefited from increased support and encouragement. Overseas, music managers have sometimes been as well-known and notorious as the bands themselves. Think Malcolm McLaren. Here in New Zealand, though, they like to stay out of the limelight. Unless, of course, there are free drinks involved. And this week, the creme de la creme of music management got together in Auckland for a few drinks and some well-deserved backpatting. Here's Hugh Hughes with the story.
Hello and welcome to the 2010 Music Managers Awards. My gut feeling is that a lot of you are sitting here saying, why a Music Managers Awards? Don't they already get so much?
Hi, my name is Teresa Patterson and I am a music manager and the chairperson of the New Zealand Music Managers Forum.
The Music Managers Forum was set up in 2004 to support all aspects of being a music manager in New Zealand. It's a profession more people are taking up, but there's still a shortage. For music obsessive Teresa, it was a logical step she sort of fell into following 10 years working for major record labels. I went along to the MMF's annual awards for music management earlier in the week, and talking to the finalists, it seems just falling into it is common to them all.
Some might joke that maybe music managers are people who kind of wanted to be in bands but sort of never got their act into gear. Yeah, what sort of person, you know, wants to be a music manager?
A crazy person? That's so funny. I was just talking to Matt McLeod, who manages the Black Seas and Phoenix Foundation, and he was just like, how do you manage to do this? Run the music managers for a member and manage at the same time. And I was just like, because I'm crazy, I don't have a life.
To be a band manager is hard. To be a band manager in New Zealand is very hard. To be a band manager from the South Island requires large balls. The Southern managers in this category, 2010 Regional Manager of the Year for the South Island. And the winner is Flip Grado!
Wow, this is really cool. The last time I won this, I was in Paris, so I didn't get to see it, but this is really quite fantastic to be here.
It's funny, actually, because the last time they asked me to come see this event, I was in Paris.
I noticed there's a North Island and a South Island regional breakdown in terms of awards. Do you feel neglected in the South Island?
Well, I've actually just moved to Auckland, so I'm a really bad person to ask about that. And in fact, I may even be an inappropriate contender for that award. But I did win it because the calendar year that it was that was appropriate for that award, I was based in Christchurch. So things are difficult in Christchurch, but with things like chart and and the internet, we have that in the South Island now.
As well as winning the South Island Award, Flip Grater was also a nominee for Self Manager of the Year.
Is it easier or harder to do it that way?
It's a lot harder. Although you don't have to communicate every little thing with another person and collaborate in that way, so it's kind of good if you're very independent like myself, but it's a lot of work being self-managed, yeah. But for New Zealand, I feel quite content with being self-managed. I feel like there wouldn't be a lot of point in having somebody else manage me for New Zealand.
I mean, it's 10% of your wages after all.
Well, yeah.
Is it 20? What is it?
20%. Well, 15 to 20% of f*** all is f*** all, so...
Hi, I'm Ingrid Round and I work for a company called Dirty Management. We look after a variety of artists, Open Souls, PNC, David Dallas, P-Money, and then we do some label work for Tiki and Bulletproof and State of Mind and Concord Dawn.
To make an income, people would have to usually work for a whole bunch of different artists. Does that present problems in its own, in the sense of one band getting jealous of the attention another band's getting, that kind of thing?
Particularly with us, because we have quite a few artists working in the same genre, like David Dallas and PNC, or State of Mind, Bulletproof and Concord Dawn. They are sort of all drum bass or all hip hop, so you just have to be careful about where you schedule their artists, their albums and what they're doing at the time, and make sure that, you know, you're not clashing them against each other, because, you know, there is only one of you and there's only so much you can do.
Having worked at FMR, sort of Flying Nun, there must be at least one story of a shocking manager that you can share.
Oh my god, there would be hundreds, but I have total baby brain at the moment, so thinking of any off the top of my head is kind of impossible. But, yeah.
To be nominated for Music Manager of the Year whilst having just had a baby, that's pretty impressive. You can obviously multitask.
I think it's a female thing.
Upcoming Manager of the Year goes to Ray Vickers. Congratulations.
Hey, next year I'm 60.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to go home tonight and say to my wife, hey babe, I'm up and coming.
So you came to music management late in life?
Yeah, I did. Two of my sons are in the band, and they asked me to get involved with them from a commercial background.
Well, so what's your day job?
My day job, I'm the sales director for a marketing company.
So there's a little bit of crossover. I guess marketing and management, there are some shared skills.
Absolutely. I think what is really interesting is what we wanted to do and the boys wanted to do from a young age was to develop a really commercial side.
It's an exciting industry to be in. Have you got addicted to the management side? You know, are you considering giving up your day job and going full-time now?
I'd love to. You know, truthfully, I'd love to take on other bands. One day, as I said, I'm coming up 60. One day I'd love to give it away and travel with the guys all the time. We have a great time together. But, you know, that's to come.
Do you wish you got into management sooner?
Yeah, I'd love to. I've, without wanting to sound egotistical, I've had a number of bands approach me. You know, from a financial point of view, I can't do that at the present time. But I would love to have done it from, say, mid-30s or something like that when I was streetwise, from my commercial background. It would have been huge. And, you know, there's still opportunity over the next 5 or 6 years to do some things that I'd like to do with the band.
Good stuff. Congratulations, and congratulations for Joke of the Night, too, with the with the sexual innuendo.
Man, I wish I could tell my wife about up and coming when they arrive. I'll probably just go to sleep. Not that she's not beautiful, she's 35.
My name's Dave Gibson. I'm the lead vocalist from LMNOP.
An MC for hire.
A good manager is somebody who invents things that aren't yet there, like opportunities that the band wouldn't have had. You know, a manager should invent those, not just manage or administer current events of things that are happening in the band's life, like getting paid, for example. But I think a really great manager also is that manager that, you know, gets you to America, and you're playing some club, and it doesn't matter if there's 5 people there, but how the hell did we do this? Like, you know, I don't know. How come we're in the UK now? I don't really know, you know. Kind of invents opportunities.
To me, the number one thing is that you have to believe in their music, because you're going to spend a lot of time with these people and you're going to see a lot of their gigs, and you don't really want to be, you know, like sitting on the sides of the stage going, oh my God, if I hear the song one more time, I'm going to slip my, you know, my wrists. So you have to me, you have to actually be passionate about their music. You have to like them as people, again, because, I mean, really it's like a relationship. You're in, with them, you know, you're spending a lot of time with them, you're on the road with them. So you have to get on as people. And to me, they also have to be as hardworking and as dedicated to their career as I am, or else it's an uneven relationship.
I'm here to present the 2010 Manager of the Year Award, and the winner is Mr. Matt Coleman.
It's probably about 2.5 years ago when I saw NXS play when they reformed here at the Logan Campbell Centre. And I actually saw Midnight Youth perform with them and just approached them and became friends with them, and, you know, nothing, helped them out, basically, got them a couple of gigs. And, you know, then I phoned up my mates at Warner's in Australia. Someone came over and signed it, gave us a 5-album deal. It was really that simple. I know it's not that simple for everybody, but these guys had it down completely live. They are such a good live band. That's the major difference between them and most bands that I actually, you know, are out there. They practice every day.
When I saw you in Verona. Our band is not the same band we were when we were 25, you know, or 26, you know. We're like, we're married, we have kids. You know, I'm not going to go and take over America. I don't want to. Like, I don't care for it no more. But when I was 26, I did, and that's all I'd do anything for. I'd sleep on the floor for a year, you know, I'd eat dirt, like, I'd do whatever. I think that's a time when you really need a manager, you know, to facilitate getting you opportunities, you know.
Is a manager only as good as their artist? Potentially. That's a good question. But look, I think at the end of the day,
if the manager has the right contacts and the connections to put that artist in front of the right person, that is a massive help to their career, no matter how good they are. But for these up-and-coming bands that I really work with, you know, I'm not working with any heritage acts here, you know, so we're developing things from day one. It's even harder, really.
One thing you said in your speech was how great the media has been. What would be your number one tip for dealing with the media?
Do what they want to do.
That report from Hugh Hughes. Coming up after the break, we talk to American author John Freeman about how email is taking over our lives, and we've got fresh music from P-Money.